My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My story of faith, which parts of it I have shared quite often, entails leaving the church for a long time and as a young adult gradually coming back to it. And really, one of the struggles that I had that drove me away, one of the struggles that that caused me to gradually come back, kind of with some suspicion, is something that I like to call a detached Christianity. I felt that I encountered in a lot of other Christian people that their faith was one of a detachment. And what I mean by that, in our time, a lot of people would experience their own faith as something personal to them, something that was only personal to them, or they would experience their faith, the Christian faith, as being something only for human beings, that God was here in this world, that Christ came because of this, but only for humans. Our God was a God just for human beings. And this other theological idea that that our purpose here in this world as Christians is to try and get as many people as possible to get to heaven after they die. This theology that really says this world bears no meaning. The focus is a world to come. And I didn't like that. That just, for some reason, that didn't sit right with me. And it affected the entire way that I viewed the Christian faith. It caused me to struggle with the idea of a God who would create such a beautiful world, but then say that it has no meaning, or create love in so many various ways through creation, and then say that God's only focus was for people. And I wonder, in many different ways, if you have experienced God in this way in your own life. Is God relegated simply to the sphere of this location, this church? Do you take God with you when you go throughout your regular day? Do you take God with you when you go to work? Do you take God with you to the grocery store? Do you take God with you when you go on vacation, or when you go on hikes, or go to the beach, or just simply go for a walk? Or has God been relegated, again, to these spheres that we say are holy, like church, and only that place? And for me, I felt like this is what I was being told about God. And it made me leave. And it made me stay away for a long time. And as I started to come back to church and be more involved, those doubts were still present. How can I believe in a God who is only here in this way? And really, the saving grace for me started with an exploration. An exploration of trying to encounter God in the world around me. Trying to encounter God in the beauty of just a moment, a sunset, a landscape, a tree, my dog, sometimes my cats. I think they're more possessed than anything else, though. But honestly, trying to explore God in this way for me bore meaning because this was how the ancients understood God. This is what we hear about in Isaiah. The ancients understood a God who was present in the physical world around them, a God who they encountered in the changing of the seasons, in the fertility of the land, A God who is present in every walk of life. A God who they interacted with, not just through praying, but in how they interacted with the land and with the world around them. Isaiah talks about this God who sits above the heavens. And the reason he is writing this down, the reason he's sharing this story with his audience, is that the Israelites had just returned from exile. Their whole world had been turned upside down, and they were wondering, is God still present with us? Is God still among us? And Isaiah is reminding them, this is the God who sits above the heavens, the God who controls the seasons, the God who can look on rulers as just grasshoppers. The reminder that God is present everywhere and in everything and is so much bigger than our own personal experiences. It was a reminder for them that, yes, God is still there, and you can see him. And this is a different frame of mind than what we are used to, our own detached personal Christianity. But this was the frame of mind for the ancients. We see this in a lot of our other mythologies, Greek mythology, Roman mythology. They all had gods of different respects. The god of fertility, the god of wisdom, the god of war, the god of fire. Every single element in the world had its own deity. And it was the Jewish people who came along and said, no, that's all the same God. But still, they encountered God in all of these other respects, all of these wonderful ways. And it was a way that allowed them to see God as something so much bigger than themselves, to be able to look up into the night sky and see the heavens and know that is the realm of God. God exists everywhere. And they took this really awesome big picture of God and did something amazing with it. They said that this God suddenly came down into our own world as a human being. To take a God so massive, so big, and then to put him into one person, in the person of Jesus, and to say this big God is now here among us. Taking the God of the cosmos and putting him into Christ. This massive, cosmic, universal God is now this man who walks among us and casts out demons and heals the sick, who goes from town to town reminding people that God's kingdom is at hand, that the God of the cosmos is now present here in our world in a human being through the biggest manifestation that we call love. To marry these two frames of mind was radical and meaningful for those people. And unfortunately, we've lost this. We've become so over-focused on Jesus the human being, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, that we've lost this picture of a God in the bigger world. We have lost our connection with the world around us, our connection with the land, with our resources, with the night sky, with the stars that speak to us, with the gorgeous cosmos around us. We've lost this picture. We've lost God present in this bigger world. But there's some pretty amazing things happening, and I'm gonna really impress some people and really bore some others right now. There are some incredible things happening in the world of physics that paint a picture of a God present in the universe. Albert Einstein started to kind of poke around with this stuff. Towards the end of his life, he was reported to say that God is a mystery, but a comprehensible mystery. I have nothing but awe when I observe the laws of nature, and there are not laws without a lawgiver. But how does this lawgiver look? certainly not like a man magnified. Centuries ago, I would have been burned or hanged for saying this. And then with a smile, he said, nonetheless, I would have been in good company. People started looking at the sky again, started looking into our universe, started exploring how things came to be with all of these wonderful new technologies that we have, these magnified ways of viewing. And in my opinion, they started exploring God's work. There's two things within physics that I want to point out that actually give me goosebumps. One of them is a concept called entanglement. Has anyone ever heard of entanglement in physics? David's the only person who can call me out if I'm wrong on this. Perfect. Good. Physics was something that was speculated by Albert Einstein, but then it was really given its life by Erwin Schrödinger. And the idea is that on a subatomic level, okay, follow me here, on a level that you can't even see with a telescope, it's so small, but on a subatomic level, when two particles come into contact with each other, their properties mix. And when they separate, even by distance and time, when one thing happens to one of those particles, it will then happen to the other. Now think about that for a second. These two things that are completely separated have similar effects because something happens to one of them. Now that might go a little over your head as it goes over mine. But what that points to is that there is connection in our universe. That from the very moment God created this world, from the moment that God looked at it and said that it was good, that there is a connection from that point in time and space all the way to today. That the effects of creation, the effects of Christ in this world, the effects of Him on the cross, these are not just things we look back in history and remember, but these are things that physically affect our world today. That the love that God poured into this universe 13.8 billion years ago is still having effects on us today. And then the second one comes from astrophysicists really looking out into the world. And this one blows my mind. Physicists have been able to look into the universe and they have started to map the pattern of the galaxies, the way that they look. They've been able to trace them and write them down. And they discovered something very similar. The pattern in which galaxies fall, if you look at them from a backed up view, they have an incredibly similar pattern to the neuron firings that happen in a human brain. Not only that, but scientists have discovered that there are about as many galaxies in our universe as there are neurons in one human brain. Our universe is not just some random thing that happened with a bang and then just started to spread. Our universe has something amazing to it. Maybe we're inside God's brain. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. But I know that it's not random. I know that it has meaning. I know that it points to the fact that we as human beings are in the midst of something bigger than ourselves, that we are not even detached from each other, but we are connected to each other. We are connected to this world. We are connected to this universe. Now, the reason I vomited all this stuff out to us today is because I still have these moments of doubt. When I hear the very specifics recorded in the Bible, I wonder to myself, is this real? And honestly, I don't find comfort in just saying, yes, it has to be. the things that help me when I doubt in my life are when I can look at the night sky and through the world of observation and exploration actually see that there is some kind of a divine connection in our universe. That is the thing that most brings me comfort and faith in my life. That God can be viewed, not just through Scripture, but through our very, very world. But this also helps me in my moments of struggle. To think that the God of the cosmic universe, the God who decided to take 13.8 billion years to create life, 13.8, that's a lot of patience. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of work and a lot of energy. 13.8 billion years to create you. That's a lot of love. When I struggle most in this world, it's the fact that the God of the cosmos is also the God of Christ. The God who can create something so big, so incomprehensible, can still be present with each and every one of us in love. And I get to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.